Well, we know the field of Democratic candidates vying for their party's nomination has been winnowed down to just three. But wait, actually, there is another Democratic candidate you may have never heard of. His name is Larry Lessig. He's a professor of law at Harvard University. He's in Iowa this week and joins me now. Professor Lessig, welcome to the program.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, what is the focus of your campaign?
Well, I'm focused on something I think most Americans recognize, which is that our government is deeply corrupted and crippled. Our Congress is corrupted and crippled by the influence of money and the way in which we've allowed Congress to become this incredibly polarized, dysfunctional institution. And what I think we need to do is to focus a campaign on how we fix that, because all of the other things that the Democratic candidates are talking about, things I care deeply about, like dealing with the problem of the minimum wage or dealing with the problem of climate change or getting us Social Security that's actually secure, all of these things are impossible until we actually get a Congress that's free to lead rather than spending all of its time focused on its funders. So that's the focus of my campaign, to address this Democratic failure, this failed institution first. And once we solve that problem, then we can turn to all the incredibly important problems we know we have to address.
I think a lot of Americans share your concern about some of the things we hear happening in Washington. How would you go about it, though? How would you reform our campaigns, our system of government?
Well, this is what's so surprising. Most people think this is a problem that's been created by the Supreme Court and that there's nothing we can do unless we amend the Constitution. But in fact, most of this problem could be solved by Congress passing legislation to change the way campaigns are funded and to reform the way it itself gets selected so it's not this completely partisan, polarized institution that can't actually function. And so what I've been pushing is recognition of how, through what I call the Citizen Equality Act, we could restore a government that is not bending over backwards to worry about what a tiny fraction of the 1% who fund their campaigns care about, but instead was focused on what most Americans actually wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. So how would that funding look differently? If let's just suppose you could get this act passed through Congress.
Right. So the statute would change the way campaigns are funded by creating what you could think of as bottom-up public funding of campaigns, not like the presidential public funding, which was kind of top-down. This would be a way to get to give people like vouchers, which they could use to give to congressmen. This is like a rebate on their taxes to give them resources that they could then use to give to congressmen to help the congressmen fund their campaign so that candidates would not be focused on the big funders, but would instead be raising money from all of us and therefore be responsive to all of us in a way that they're just not now.
Larry Lessig, you were not included in the Democratic debate, the first one. There's one coming up on the grounds of weak poll numbers. Isn't that a valid reason not to include you?
Well, it is, but the problem is there's this catch-22 going on here. The rule says I have to have 1% in three polls 6 weeks before the debate. But because the Democratic Party has not recognized me as a candidate, most of the polls are not including my name. So last week, three polls were released. One of them included my name, and I qualified in that poll. The other two didn't include my name, so obviously I couldn't qualify in that poll. Mm-hmm. So the point we're trying to make is, at a minimum, I need to be in the polls. And as Politico calculated when they just looked at the statistics, if in fact I had been in all the polls, based on the statistics, I would have qualified for the debate. So this is a hard thing for a non-politician to figure out how you get into this kind of race. And, obviously I'm not a senator or not a billionaire, but we think under the basis of the principle of the rule, we should qualify to be in the debate.
So what do you have to do to be recognized by the Democratic Party as a candidate?
That's a great question. Again, if I were a former politician or a current politician, they take it for granted that they need to be included. But if you're not a politician, it's pretty hard because, as a professor, once I start running for office, I have to give up my salary. I can't be paid by the campaign until just before the election. So there's a limited window that I have, given I'm not a billionaire, to actually go out and to make my case and to make this issue salient. I've been working as hard as I possibly can to do that. And, you know, we think that the numbers, if in fact we were polled, would show that I qualified under the standard that they set. But they've been pretty studious in keeping me out. And not just from the debates, you know, I was very eager to come to the Jefferson Jackson dinner that was held here last weekend. And we worked hard to try to be able, you know, even able to be included in that. That's not a debate. But we were not invited to attend that either. So for an outsider, for a non-politician, it's not yet clear the Democratic Party is eager to welcome us in.
I understand you've raised more money as a candidate than recognized candidates, Lincoln Chafee and Jim Webb. Now they're out of the race, and also several Republicans. Where is your financial backing coming from?
Well, right. When I launched this, I said I would run if we could raise $1 million in less than 30 days. And we did. We met that goal of pledges and commitments. And that was more than two of the Democrats and five of the Republicans. And so that's what we thought would, you know, make people recognize this was a viable, vital campaign. There were close to 10,000 people who supported the campaign. And those 10,000 people were really committed to having a voice in this election that was trying to focus on this fundamental corruption of our government. And that's not an issue that, you know, either the Democrats or the Republicans are eager to get people to focus on. You saw how uncomfortable the Republicans were when Donald Trump raised this issue in the second debate, and he's consistently talked about the problem of super PACs and how that's corrupting our system. And nobody's comfortable about this in the political classes. So I thought we could, you know, establish credibility as a campaign by demonstrating there was this ground of support stronger than the support in other races. But that still has not been enough for the Democratic Party.
We have to go in just a minute, but I want to know, week by week, how are you deciding whether it's worth it to stay in the race, to commit your energy and the people that who are working for you?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, the issue for us now is whether we can get into the second debate.
Are you still negotiating that? Is that a possibility? Because Jim Webb and Lincoln Chafee are not there. There's certainly room on the stage.
Yeah, no, there's room. When you compare the Democrats to the Republicans last night, there's plenty of room. So, yeah, we're still talking to them about whether I would be included in the second debate. I have no desire to continue beyond the point that it makes no sense to be in this. And if the Democrats won't, allow this to be on the stage, then, we have to think of other ways to get this message out there. Because what we know from our own internal polling, which confirms what many people have been finding recently, this issue is at the very top of what people care about. YouGov did a poll and they asked Democratic primary voters, say what the one thing, if you could only get one thing in the next administration, what should that one thing be? The number one thing picked by Democratic primary voters was ending this corrupt system for funding campaigns. So we know this issue is salient and important to Americans, and I've just got to find a way to have a venue to allow people to see there's a way to solve it and that there's a campaign that would solve it if, in fact, we were successful.
Professor Larry Lessig, a Democratic candidate for president who is in Iowa this week, a professor of law at Harvard Law School. Thank you very much, Professor Lessig.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.